I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto votes this October. In the lead-up to the 2022 municipal election, CGRU is reaching out to all candidates in the downtown wards. Today, Colin Johnson joins CGRU to discuss his decision to run for Ward 13, Toronto Centre. He's a harm reduction worker and longtime resident of Toronto Centre. Johnson said that he was running to be a councillor who brings lived experiences to City Hall.
Oh, my name is Colin Johnson. So I have been working in harm reduction and HPD. I was born in Jamaica. I came to Canada at a very young age. I liked the city. I was enthralled by Toronto. After conversations with my parents, I decided to stay here. I left and then back to the University of the West Indies for 3 years to do a degree in public administration. And since then, I've been back in Canada basically all my life. Apart from that, yeah, you know, I think what's important is that I've been working with governments over the last number of years, especially during the pandemic. And I come to the conclusion that they need some revitalization and somebody who actually speaks on subjects that they actually know about.
Okay, great. So for the next question, when did you make the decision to run for Ward 13's council seat?
When Kristen Wong-Tam decided that she wasn't.
And why do you want to be Ward 13's newest city councillor?
Well, okay, so Ward 13... First of all, okay, I've lived in what is now Ward 13 and grown up here for most of my life, okay? And that would have been from the 80s. I've seen the evolution over this ward over the years, and there are just certain aspects of this ward that I think require someone who's actually lived here and been involved in a lot of the experiences that people share in this. That voice needs to be on city council. So to give you an example, this ward has the highest per capita population density of all the wards in the city of Toronto. St. Jamestown is actually somewhere around 44,000 people per square kilometer. That is unreal. So issues like transportation definitely need to be addressed. We also need to look at the issue concerning housing, which has been going on and on and on in the city for, I think, basically since I got here, in the sense of low income or affordable housing. Because most of the people who are seeking that type of housing do tend to be in the downtown core. The other issue that I think we have a problem with, well, a challenge with, is the opioid poisoning crisis, which is most impacted by people in this downtown core. We have the highest figures for overdoses here. As I said, I think I mentioned transportation. So those are some of the major points that I want to bring across as somebody with lived experience in all of those areas, to City Hall, to City Council, because I think that unless they have somebody who can speak and address to those points from a real lived experience, then no, they will have no idea what's going on.
That's pretty interesting, because you did mention on your Twitter bio that city council needs someone with lived experience. And you mentioned a little bit about it, but I'd like to hear more about how you feel like for the years you've lived in Ward 13, you say like there's nobody with that type of lived experience before.
On city council, no. So for example, I was homeless. I presently live in Toronto community housing, which is a mess. And if we're going to go forward in creation or building of affordable housing, chances are that those projects will be turned over to Toronto Community Housing Corporation, which, in my opinion, and in the opinion of so many people who live here, it needs to be totally revamped, remade, recreated, because it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. Clients, In my apartment alone, my building alone, I have had 8 superintendents in the last 14 months. 8. How does work exactly get done? Citizens here in St. Jamestown and in most Toronto community give up after a while because it's pointless. You either don't get responses from the so-called teams that are supposed to help, or if they do, they come and they just give you platitudes, which doesn't answer. After a while, everybody gives up. So again, to me, you need somebody who's that lived experience and having to have to deal with Toronto community housing, understands the challenges and what is required to fix it, because it can be fixed. So that's part one. Part two, I did the drug scene. I am very familiar with what's going on, especially the public health, with the present drug poisoning crisis. I was the chair of Toronto Harm Reduction Alliance. I took a leave of absence to run in this election. And again, it comes back to the fact that, I mean, I don't know if people on the council do drugs, but that being said, you need somebody who can actually speak up for it. I also sit on the City of Toronto's Decriminalization Submission Commission, which was, so that portion was just submitted to Health Canada to decriminalize all drugs for personal use in the City of Toronto. And again, we need that voice. And lastly, when it comes to transportation, I get the PTC. And right now, as I said, when we speak of the population density, what we have now are Wellesley, Sherbourne, Parliament, and Jarvis. Those are the main lanes. And, you know, with the population increasing as it presently is, there's no way that we can have adequate bus service. We need more than a bus. We need to get a subway. And the present Ontario line does not have a link or a bus stop or a subway stop anywhere within this region. It's ridiculous.
For my next question, you've mentioned already Kristen Wong-Tam. So they were the city councilor for quite some time in Ward 13 and Ward 27. They were fairly popular and a trusted voice for the community and its residents. In your opinion, how will you earn this voter's trust that's been so accustomed to Kristen?
Well, I'm going to be quite different from Kristen. Yeah, I really am. I think, for one, I'm going to be far more direct and open on so many of my policies. And anybody who has worked with me will tell you that I do not have meetings for the sake of meetings. I am a very focused person. I believe that I definitely understand. I have a better understanding of the challenges that this region, that this ward faces. Because I, you know, I've worked, lived, partied, played in this war. I am gay. I have been out since 1972. I have been an active member of the gay community. I was one of the founding members of the Gay Alliance at York. And then I've also, most of my work lately has been with harm reduction. And I have also worked with HIV, Hep C, the African Caribbean and Black and other marginalized populations within this region, within this ward. And that's another interesting stat is that this ward gets most of the immigrants coming in. So we need to address those. We need to ensure that we have the facilities to deal with the present overdose crisis, which I believe means we require safer supply, government interdiction into what is opening overdose injection sites and inhalation sites, which is a provincial matter, but you know we're going to have to talk to the province about that. Bottom line is, I really think I can build that trust through my connections that I have throughout the years that I have worked here. And people, as I say, know what I stand for. They know what my values are.
Right. Great. So you've already mentioned some of them, but I'd like to know more about your platform. So you've already mentioned affordable housing, but I'd like to know also your thoughts on the shelter system and tent encampments, please.
So housing is a problem in the city of Toronto. If you are working, you can afford the ridiculous rents that are being charged by landlords. So one, I really believe that we need to get rent controls back. That must come back. That's part A. Part B is I really believe that Toronto community housing, when it is fixed, we can use, would be in a better position to, for example, remodel places like the Moss Park, Toronto community housing, St. Jamestown. We must not make the same errors that we made with Regent Park, where a lot of the people who had lived in Regent Park for years, only to discover that when the gentrification was done, they had actually signed away their rights to go back in. So that cannot be done. The tent encampment. I really don't have a challenge with that. I mean, we give the people the tents. They're supplied for most of the outreach services that give them those tents. What we need to do is to provide the facilities for a washroom, et cetera. Because at the moment, the shelter system is also a mess. I don't know if you've ever been to one of these shelters, but I lived in a shelter for a while. It's almost like the colors are drab. It's almost like being in prison. You check in, and I know the idea is it's supposed to be a temporary thing, but until we build housing, it's not going to be temporary. So at the very best, make the shelters livable. Make them warm. They're very depressing. I'm not going to lie. And when you have to sleep with your shoes on because you're afraid somebody's going to steal your shoes, I mean, seriously. So if we're going to fix the shelter system, we also need to give it so people who are staying in the shelters can have a locker where they can lock up their stuff if they're moving, especially if they're going to supposedly going to job hunting. Those facilities also should be supplied in the shelter. Computers so people can job hunt within the shelter instead of having to go outside, especially in the winter. In the winter, we also kick people out of the shelter like at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's ridiculous. Seriously, what are they supposed to do? Go sell and starve or freeze? So these are some of the things, challenges that I do have. The shelter staff also need to be trained in harm reduction because people use substances in the shelter. And I think we also need to just rehash and re-examine how this entire issues relating to substances in Canada and North America. I think we have a very jaded and ignorant perspective regarding substances, and especially also how the media portrays substances.
For my next one, they're actually together, but I'd like to know more of what you've talked about before. So community safety and also police reform.
Oh, okay. So let me go to police reform first. So far, all the papers that have come out, including the last police report and the Human Rights Tribunal, have made it very clear that the Toronto Police Department, or whatever term they want to call it, is racist in a lot of how they interact with the community, especially when it comes to African Caribbean and Black men. For me, first of all, I think the police need to admit the fact that that is a reality. The chief gave what I thought was a very soft acknowledgement when the last report came out. Unless the police start accepting the fact that, yes, their practices have been in the past and continue to be racial and in their profiling, in how they stop people, you need that, then they're not going to get anything. So let's accept that. However, for police reform, I think that we need to start at the provincial level. When I say that, what I mean is that the qualifications to become a police officer have not changed in a long, long while. It still remains that all you need is grade 12 and the ability to lift somebody who's heavier than you. I really think that that needs to change to require a degree, whether that degree be in sociology, psychology, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you must have a degree. I mean, and I'm not talking about basket weaving either, obviously. So you need a degree. You need to do at least the two-year courses that are offered for colleges in policing. And in my final recommendation would be at least a year at police academy. Right now, I think they serve 27 weeks, which is about the same time that I do one single course at Toronto Metropolitan University. That is ridiculous. So what I'm basically saying is before you can become a police officer, you need to at least do 6 years, five, 6 years of education, which will include, I think, and must include things like diversity, interactions, de-escalation, interactions with the LGBTIQ, the Black, Asian communities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, let us, you know, when we look at the murders that guy McMurray did, although the police had been told for years that there was a serial killer in the gay community, we were ignored. And we turned out to be right. So that sort of stuff needs to be addressed. Okay, so you're gonna need to fix the police force before you can build that community trust. Yeah. That's gonna be my answer to that. Yeah.
Okay.
The community is not gonna have faith or call on the police if they do not trust the police. Yeah. So both go hand in hand.
Yeah, this kind of leads into my next question. So you already mentioned a bit of it, but I'd like to know your thoughts on 2S LGBTQ plus rights and concerns in Ward 13.
So, okay, as I said, I've been gay. I came out in 1972. And I have seen the shrinking of the Church Wesley area. At one time, we had upwards of 30 gay bars in the city. And that was in the 70s and the 80s when disco ruled and things were really much better. I think a disservice has been done to the gay community in that the Church Wellesley Street area has not been designated as a historical or cultural area, which would have prevented developers from coming in and building high rises. In fact, Kyle Ray, who was the first gay person to sit on the council in way back in the 80s, brought that up. And of course, that was the 80s, so chances of him winning that were not done. Piston Wong Tam was also a chair of the Preservation Society. So again, I don't know why that was not done there. I'm sure there must be a reason. But I really think that what is now left of the Church Wellesley core needs to have that historical designation. So that's why. The other issue that I think we face is bullying and cyberbullying when it relates to young gay people. That needs to be addressed and taken more seriously. That's the other thing. Harms and threats against violence against gay people has gone up over the last number of years in this ward. The thing is, though, that a lot of gay people just don't even bother reporting it anymore because the police don't really tend to be as vigilant when it comes to somebody, a gay, talking about something like that. So that needs to change, and that's also part and parcel of what I think needs to be done for community safety. You want to touch on that? And I think the last issue for me
is the sex education curriculum, which again is a provincial thing. I think we need to make sure as a city that we go and try to get the Toronto District School Board and the teachers who are in total agreement that the sex education curriculum needs to be changed to reflect the changing concepts and attitudes relating to the sexual spectrum, and also to empower young women and young gay men or young transgender or intersex people to feel safe within your school or walking on the street.
Two more questions on the platform. So for my next one, it is climate action in Ward 13.
Well, so the big response to that is, as I said, transportation. We need to get more subway and bus service here. As I said, this ward is the most highly populated, densely populated ward in the city. We need more transit, and we definitely need a subway line, a subway stop on the new Ontario line that is being theorized. Where they want to put it, I think they should put it at somewhere like Parliament and Girard, to be honest with you, as a feeder for the both the college streetcar as well as the Parliament streetcar, Parliament bus, which I think would take off quite a load in this area for people who are using cars. The other thing that I think we need to do is, although we speak about recycling, we're not recycling correctly. We are not recycling, and most of the stuff that we think is being recycled is actually being dumped in a thing. So I think the city needs a whole new education about recycling, like, you know, taking, you know, washing out the plastic containers, taking the caps off the bottles, etc. That sort of stuff. Because right now we're not recycling. We think we are, but we're not. And finally, I think just education overall regarding the climate change issue, trying to keep the place clean. It's as simple as that. You know, minimize your electricity use. I mean, turn off lights if you're not in an apartment. Just things along that line. I think that's as much as we can do. Yeah.
All right. My next question is, I would like to know your opinion on the strong mayor system and how you will work as a counselor to maintain accountability on the mayor.
So, you know, that's a very interesting question. One of the things regarding mayors or the equivalent in other countries is that the mayors tend to have a veto power, which is what they actually use so that they can make deals and get their platforms through. So in essence, I am not opposed to the mayor having more power. It's just I'd like to have it clearly outlined as to what he can and cannot do. And whether there should also be the provision that if the city council does not agree totally with the mayor, then perhaps a two-thirds vote by city council would overturn that mayoral decision. So we'll have checks and balances going along the way. I hope that answers that question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a few more questions. Sure. So, overall, what would you like to tell voters in the lead up to the October election?
Apart from the fact that I think people in Ward 13 should vote for me, I mean, really, I think what I want to say to voters is Toronto is an amazing city. I have lived here, as I say, for almost 40 years of my life. This city is so unique in so many aspects. We speak 150 different languages. We celebrate so many different cultural events, from Pride to, you know, the Sikh festival, Taste of the Danforth. We have such wonderful small communities. You know, Ronsonvale, Little Italy, you know, the Church of Wesley Village, Regent Park, St. Jamestown, where I live and where I love. And all of these communities come together to form a magnificent city called Toronto. I think we also acknowledge the challenges faced by some marginalized communities here. And we are trying, I think, to make a difference. I think Toronto, I don't want to say it's going to be the best, but I think what's important is that we make Toronto better. Every year, we strive to make Toronto better, safer for people to raise their families. And to have that interaction of culture, because I believe that is where humanity needs to go. We need to take the best that every culture can offer and combine those into making a safe, enjoyable city and a pleasant city. Oh, and then the only other point that I want to bring up is that, again, it's back to the number of the population density in this area. I recently saw at the corner of Church and Wellesley, posting by the Toronto District School Board stating that because of the increasing population density in this ward, well, this area, they don't have enough schools. So children are going to have to be bused, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. I think we have two schools, high schools in this area. I might be wrong. One is St. Jarvis Collegiate, and the other one is up by Casafran. I don't know if there's another high school. There might be somewhere one down by the new Jane, the new Regent Park. I can't think of it. But for our population here, that's ridiculous. Okay? And I think the last part I want to add is I'm okay with developers coming in. I have no problems with developers trying to build stuff. But they also need to build, if they're going to build condominiums or they're going to build rental apartments, they need to also build them to accommodate families. It cannot just be for single millennials or single people, because families are what make a city. And this is Toronto Center. We need families. We need parks.
Okay. Great. And how can voters learn more about your campaign?
They can go to my website, which has just been published. It's www.forcolin-in.ca. I'm also on Twitter at Colin H. Johnson 3. And my Facebook page is at forcolin-in. That's basically it. And my email address is colin@forcolin-in.ca. I will not be knocking on people's doors. And I think that's important. I will not be knocking on people's doors, and I will not be phoning them or having any robocalls to people in this writing. When I was not running, I remember that I didn't answer the door when a campaign or not. It's also been shown that it really doesn't make a difference. And the phone calls were also very disturbing and annoying. So none of my volunteers nor myself will actually be doing that. Instead, what I'm hoping to do is to host a series of Meet the Candidate community events throughout the ward over the next 6 weeks, basically. And that advertisement will be going on my Facebook page, my website, once we book those spaces.
That was Colin Johnson, candidate for Ward 13, Toronto Centre. Toronto's election is scheduled for October 24th. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.